listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations, 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time, 3 here in Vegas. Well, it's back. Pick-palooza. What does that mean? Look it up. But there's a lot of picks involved. Wow. Talk about the drama, Antonio Brown. We'll get to that first, get through it fairly quickly, and then talk about who's going to win this weekend off a sweet, sweet, sweet Thursday night best bet. A lot of love. When it's so easy, it looks like you saw the future. People tend to appreciate it. You would think maybe they'd appreciate just any winner, but it's not quite the same as if they feel so smart playing it. And we had the under first half last night. Looked mighty good. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. And in studio, the pros who know, Brad Powers in college. We'll be talking a good bit of college. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. It's my personal promise we will deliver you the Vegas truth. Jonas in L.A. traffic. Imagine that. You know, if he could predict the future, he would have known, right? But he's the voice of the fans. He'll be here any minute. Fez, let's talk about Brown. Now, some of this is math, and math isn't necessarily fun. So let's keep this part simple. How much is Antonio Brown worth as a player? Now, you've got a list of 5 players that are non-quarterbacks, because quarterbacks are in their own tier. Some of them worth a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers in his prime with a bad backup was worth 10 points. 10 points. And no one quite that valuable these days. Brady, never as much as you might think, just because Belichick's Belichick. Look what he did with Castle. So quarterbacks go to one side of the room. Amongst every other player, there's only 5 worth a point and a half. And everyone else is worth less. Maybe a dozen worth a point, Fez?
Yeah, just about a dozen.
And you think, I think you have a few too many on this. It's about 30 worth a half point, right? Or how many do you have on the list?
It's a little bit more than that.
How many?
I'm going to have to get back to you because I got to go back through the defensive play.
Okay, but if you had to guess a number.
35.
Okay, so about 30. And he says, no, 35.
Yeah, 31.2.
If his accuracy seems to come and go, doesn't it, Steve Fezzik? All right, now here's the question. Where's Brown? So Brown's not on the list of your list of the 1.5 pointers, the 5 biggies.
Correct.
Okay, not on the list. But yesterday, the line was pick 'em. It was announced Brown out. Line goes to 2, maybe even 2.5. Now, we can sit and explain again, and we won't, why isn't quite 2.5. But let's just say it's less than 2.5 by a little bit. Now, Fez, and you can tell me, it was a big surprise that Brown's now supposedly back to playing. What happened to the line? The total movement was?
1.5.
A 1.5. Okay. So what I saw was from 2 to 1.
Yeah, it went from 2.5 to 2.
Now, was that before or after?
Before the announcement.
Okay, so let me ask one more time. So from the time of the announcement on, how much was the line move?
1 point move.
1 point. Got it. Yay. 5 plus 5 equals 10. We got a winning streak going. Now, here's the question. He mentioned it. He wasn't asked, but he mentioned. That line did leak, they call it. What was that? Maybe it's a leak. Never really thought of it, but they say that line's leaking down. I think it looks like if you just look at the movement, and Fez, we don't attract drama. We don't wrap our arms around controversy, but we don't shy from it here on Straight Outta Vegas. Would you say that line moving a half point down within, how much before the announcement was it?
About an hour before.
All right. So it seems curious. It's almost like city officials say we will be doing waterfront expansion. And then you look and see the city councilman's brother bought land there the day before. It could be a coincidence. Does this feel like this baby leaked?
Feels like somebody knew and it got leaked, yes.
All right, could be. We'll just say could be. So on one hand, you can say, it's more towards 1.5, the adjustment. But it's still not what it was yesterday. Why? I believe yesterday's move was about Brown's value on the field. And since he was taken off the field, that would be a move against the Raiders. But in addition, it was about team distraction. Who's talking about this? Who's thinking about this? It seems like Gruden has a statement on this every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Instagram, if he's got his own little camera crew following him at all times. Is he getting ready for the game? And you might say, he's getting ready. It's like, but Belichick, the other good coaches, they're getting ready every waking moment. So if you take 20 minutes away from it, it's 20 less minutes to get ready. I think it's a distraction for the coaches. And now I think it's more of a distraction because I think the consensus opinion was yesterday, if you watch Speak for Yourself, First Things First, the morning shows on FS1, the consensus was, I think this is it with the Raiders. Because as people got into the contract's details, what they felt like was, the Raiders haven't paid him anything really yet. They said, $1 million, but he didn't qualify for that. But million doesn't even matter in the scheme of what we're talking here. So if you can cut this guy after finding out what you found out about him, I'm not even sure how that wasn't the autoplay. Why wasn't that standard? Think about it. Imagine if you get married and to whatever degree you thought the person was problematic, personality, temper, smelled at night, whatever. If that was double as bad or triple as bad, but somehow you could annul the marriage 6 months later where there's no real consequence, at least on paper, to it. Might be emotional consequence, but pretty much everything has that carnage. But it's a situation where there's no real cost to say, with the new information, I can go back in time effectively and make a different decision. Who wouldn't do that unless the decision initially was so clear, was so one-sided. There wasn't even another side to it. That even with double the trouble, double the whatever, you'd say, fine, I still want this decision. Could that be the case with the Raiders? Because would you guys agree, and I'm open to people disagreeing with this, if they want to be wrong, but would you agree that the amount of drama, the amount of distraction around AB is much more than we expected considering how he did in Pittsburgh? Meaning there was some of it certainly in Pittsburgh, but I did not expect this much. Brad?
I completely agree.
Like double, if not more?
Yeah.
Quadruple. He's the headline story once a week.
Yeah. So it strikes me unless the rate, and again, they were paying him, 30-some mil guaranteed.
Yep.
And
three
again,
years, that, 50 million.
Say it again?
3 years, $50 million with 30 guaranteed.
Okay. That feels like a pretty good contract for a guy his age.
Yes. Fourth highest wide receiver in the league.
And you could say, he's been better than that. Yeah, but he's 30, right?
31.
So the 55-year-old goes, 31. He's old. So here's the question. Unless the Raiders thought, we should probably pay him double this. We got a bargain, which is almost nonsensical.
Yep.
Then on the other hand, you would say, now that you see that Brown is double or triple the trouble and you can get out as if you hadn't made the decision pretty much to start with, except you got all the drama for Hard Knocks without much expense, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
A little? Explain to me the rationale. Like you are thinking, let's assume things aren't quite as we think they are. If this is the case, RJ, it makes sense they want him to play. What would that scenario be?
Well, I just think who's making the decisions here to cut
him? Well, we know who's making the decisions. It's Gruden.
Yes.
Unless somehow Mark Davis wants to trump him, which he doesn't seem inclined to do.
Yeah.
All right. So even with Gruden, what is the thought process that makes this decision logical? Keep him Brown. And by it strikes me, the minute they let him play, all this prior actions that they would use to invalidate the contract go out the window. At least the known ones. Because the assumption is you knew about Brown doing X or Y to Mayock, right? Whatever it was, allegedly, whatever. Yes, we did. And then you still, and you guys suspended him formally, correct? Yes, we did. And then you said, you know, we reconsider, correct? How can you say that's the reason? In a way, letting him play in this one game seems to put them back on the hook for the whole 30 mil.
I don't disagree with that.
So what could it be that would make getting on the hook for 30 mil now make sense?
It doesn't.
I don't think you can even make the case. Even a lawyer would have trouble making, you know, that's going to take the side he's on.
Yeah, I heard, news about AB. I was almost certain, they cut him.
Yeah, if you would have said, what are the odds from here as of 7 a.m. Pacific that he gets cut next or if he plays next, I'd say minus 300 that he got cut.
Agreed.
This is a surprise. I don't understand it. We've been saying all along, this is Straight Out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell, joined by Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. We've been saying all along, the Raiders have a different agenda. It's not just winning. It's getting to Vegas. And you might say, well, why does that matter? Well, the Raiders financially with Davis, the Davises as owners, not the most some would say, and again, I don't know if these numbers are perfect, the least wealthy owner amongst the NFL's owners. And Oakland has a lot of limitations, it seems, with financially generating money. For example, our understanding is no naming rights of the stadium. So revenue from that now currently zero. And in Vegas, the naming rights are, Brad?
$500 million for 20 years. All right. $25 million a year.
Let me see. Yep. $25 million a year versus zero. Okay. And by the way, Denver, Mile High being a fame, you know, if you could say casual fans name a stadium or name stadium names, Mile High is going to be
certainly in the top 10.
Yeah, certainly on top of the list. How much are they making a year? Just signed that deal this week.
$6 million a year.
All right. 25 versus six. Vegas. All right. There's money here. So how do you get here with the least amount of trouble? Well, they're going to get here, but do you get here limping? Maybe Antonio Brown's a built-in excuse. Meaning you have Brown and you say, listen, we wanted to give him a chance. He's a great player. Look at all those years in Pittsburgh. And then the season blows up. All of a sudden, it's like, that Brown didn't turn out to be the way I thought he was. Well, you saw that. Hey, I gave him another chance. Hey, fault me for caring too much about players and trying to help them through tough times. I don't know. There's nothing about winning that allows this decision to make sense. There's nothing about financial net results, as in pay this $30 million or don't, that makes this decision make sense. But maybe the theory is, maybe he's worth $12 million instead of $30 at this point with all the trouble. But that $18 million difference, we're going to make up for that in excuse equity. Right? Aren't they really setting up right now a building excuse for the season?
AB to be the scapegoat.
He's the patsy, perhaps.
The fall guy.
But he's making 30 sticks to be the patsy. That might not be such a bad decision. Last thing, I heard Jonas laugh. Mr. Jonas, give us your quick overview of the Antonio Brown decision.
It felt like the Raiders had an easy out. It felt like they could have gotten out of this and kept $29 million. And apparently he was very convincing with his apology because I can't figure it out. It's very bizarre.
And I think probably, you know what they say, if the logic doesn't work, check your assumptions. All of us initially are thinking this through as if the goal of the Raiders is to economically, so money's an issue, win. Maybe that's not the goal. The goal is to hit Vegas with a fresh slate and that fresh slate. Might be AB deciding to move to Vegas in the offseason and work out every day at UNLV. Who knows what? But as long as they can turn the page on this year and not hurt the seat licensing agreements and all that next year, then the extra tens of million doesn't really matter because we're talking billions. We're not talking billions, but we're talking cash when we come back. We're going to start with the picks. It really is Pickpalooza, ending the show with best bets.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look back at what we apparently saw last night, which was an NFL game.
Thanks for joining us. Pickpalooza on Fridays, bottom of the hour, world premiere, Colin Cowherd's pick number 6. Should be interesting. Little tease, I disagree with it. And one of his favorites he picked on. I was tough on him, I can't lie. Now, you can listen to us, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations each weekday. Also, iHeartRadio app, foxsportsradio.com, Sirius. Or, with no time constraints with podcasts, just search for RJ Bell right now on the Strip. You know, son, second time this week, I haven't got the weather. Let's see what we got. We want to get, you know, we could make it up, but then what point would that be? Huh. Oh, really? 104 degrees. The neon is crackling.
So, RJ, we got our first taste of NFL action last night in Chicago. It was the Packers beating the Bears 10-3. So the big question is, what do we make of what we saw, our first dose of NFL action, according to the guys in Vegas?
That I am a heck of a handicapper.
No doubt.
I mean, right here. Now, listen, we gave it on both days, Wednesday and Thursday. I put it on my Twitter. If you're not following my Twitter, it's free, by the way, at RJ in Vegas. It's like you're saying, I don't like money. Remember the old touts used to say, if you don't bet this game, it's like you don't like money. Well, this is free. Now, what was the handicap? And here's the thing. There's a couple ways that I could have approached this. I could have said, oh, yeah, yeah, that's just that. You know, the fact we were right on like, you know. But then it would have been like, if someone wins $100 and they say, no big deal. You think, wow, that guy's a big batter. But if they win $100,000 and they act like it's no big deal, then you know that they're lying. Doesn't really matter who it is. So after pretty much predicting the future on national radio, if I acted like it was no big deal, I think it would be deceptive. I just want to tell the truth. It was like we saw the future, more specifically me. Fez, you piggybacked it. We bet $1,000 just to get things rolling right on air on Wednesday. Now, you've got my nickel here in cash, but somehow I don't see any percentage on the pick.
Am I paying a commission now?
Well, I mean, come on. At any point did you think, you know, that was so easy?
I did, and I should pay you a commission.
And somehow, but you didn't.
And the reason I should oftentimes you make a bet. Sometimes you get fortunate, things go right for you. This was a case where you came on, you said both teams are going to be rusty. They didn't play their starters in preseason.
Well, I didn't say that. I don't care about the starters. I care about quarterback. That's your little thing. Starter. I don't care, right? Because you can't really quantify. Unless you give me data that says, last year this team played their starters 27% of snaps in the preseason. This year it's 18. Now I'm going to say, there's something there. But when I hear, oh, you know, I flipped on the game and I didn't see that one lineman I tend to. Oh, wait, he got traded to another team? Well, I guess that's why I didn't see him. I'm not into that. I'm a data guy. So quarterbacks.
And neither quarterback had thrown a pass, and it showed both Rodgers and, Trubisky rough out there.
Now, you notice he's talking a lot, but at no point is he talking about paying me any commission. Hold on.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
I mean, that's the beauty of it. When you have a mansion and when you have a mansion and a yacht, it's because not only you win, you're stiffing people along the way. Right? Because in the end, he's like, they won't be able to get me. I'm on my yacht. And my mansion has big, tall walls with barbed wire. You know, you always wonder why Fezzik has barbed wire on top of his fence. I don't know. Now I understand. All right. And for all you out there, I don't want your money, right? I've had probably 30 times since we started this show. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. I've had people say, hey, RJ, I want to send you a fruit basket. I'm like, no, it's my job. And if you want to thank us, spread the word. And I'll say the same thing to you guys. Spread the word about the show. The ratings are up, 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 but we want to keep going, and we appreciate the support. So I spent like 3 minutes taking my bows, but I wanted to be sincere. Let's talk about the game. Let's agree that Trubisky zero passes in the preseason, Rodgers zero passes, Green Bay with a new head coach, which means transition, you think they might be a little rusty. I think on the offensive side of the ball, to some degree, you have to excuse it. To some degree, you got to say, not a great spot. And Chicago obviously has a good defense. So I excuse Green Bay a lot. Chicago looks so inept on offense. And Green Bay's defense being somewhat improved, some think. But I'm going to say let's pause on that. To me, the big question I want to see next week, week three, how's Green Bay's defense look? If it looks good, I'm going to give the Bears a little bit of a break and say, hey, this defense is much better. So the fact they look so bad doesn't mean that they're so bad. But if somehow Green Bay looks bad on D next week, I'm going to believe that more. And I'm going to really stick it in my handicapping to the Bears offense. Do you agree with that fact?
I agree. And the real big question, three big acquisitions for Green Bay on defense, all three of these guys.
So who are the three big acquisition?
Amos, a safety they got from the Bears, and two linebackers named Smith. Both of the linebackers.
So a man named Smith. Is it John Smith?
Preston and Zadarius.
Okay.
They both got sacks. All three of these guys had big games.
All right. But that seems like exactly the way to make a mistake about something. You have a little bias coming in thinking, hey, those guys got a decent contract. Now they get one sack, and it's like, oh, they must be good. Small sample. So I agree. Whatever optimism you had about the Packers defense coming in the season, you've got to give it an up arrow. Just don't give it an up arrow without regard to its one game and without regard to the fact that Trubisky hasn't played all that well in general, and he especially wouldn't play well when he's rusty, which he had to be, zero passes. All right, so it's all with a caveat. And I think that's one of the worst things about talk radio. You want to say bombastic things. At least that's what seems to get the attention. I have no problem channeling Stephen A. if I feel it. But if I don't feel it, I'm not going to do it. And I think for guys who are trying to either bet or gals or try to be smart about sports, most of the time, each game is a little piece of a puzzle. Think about a big puzzle. How good is the Bears' offense? And you had 15% of it maybe, off-season assumptions. You look at the roster. But every year, who thought Mahomes was going to be that good entering last year? Maybe Andy Reid, but not many others, right? Mm-hmm. So now you start getting data and you start filling in the puzzle. And here's the beauty. You never have the puzzle completed. Maybe when you're on your deathbed, Fez, you're going to see something and it's going to be like, of course. And you're going to reach to the phone to text me, but then you're going to expire.
Aww.
But then you had that moment, like at the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where you saw it all.
Can I get the text out first?
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think you can, but who knows? I've never gotten a text from anyone telling me they saw it all. So, and it's true. And in a way, guys, that's why it's so interesting. I've been betting pretty much every day since I was 14, over 30 years. I don't have this figured out, more so than I did 30 years ago, though the line was easier back then. So I don't know. I'm actually really down on the Bears offense. So, I mean, let's go beyond what seems factual. I was listening to Colin today, and we're on Fox Sports Radio with Colin. We're straight out of Vegas. And he was talking about Nagy. He goes, oh, that Nagy is sharp. Woo! Did you see him move that halfback over in motion? And then they stopped and there was another motion. It's like, okay, it looks like Don Coryell stuff from the AFL. So it's like, is that really advanced or is that trying to look like, you know, they say movie directors, sometimes they get extra fancy. They want attention. So they do these camera moves that look impressive.
Yeah. Michael Bay.
Does it really work? Yeah. What do we know about Nagy that he was under Andy Reid? Now, there's two ways to look at that. Oh, he must be a genius. He was under Andy Reid. Or could it be that Andy Reid was the guy that deserved a lot of credit for what happened in Kansas City? And then if you look at last year, the assumption is, oh, Trubisky's horrible. He's like a dead corpse out there. And Nagy somehow or maybe it's give another good coach to Trubisky. He's going to look a lot better. What do we know? Because here's part of the assumption. We don't really know what makes a great OC. There's probably only about 50, 100 people in the country that do, that can look at an offense and say, oh, here's why this guy isn't as good as you might think. I'm not one of those guys.
Yep.
What do we know about Nagy other than he's got a good PR agent that makes him good?
We don't. He had limited experience calling plays in Kansas City.
That's it, yep.
Yeah, and then the one playoff game he did appear in when he was calling plays, and the knock on him was after his first big unveil, the second half adjustments he wasn't all that effective with, and it's why Marcus Mariota and the Titans won in Kansas City when they had home field there.
Great point. And also, Jonas brought up another point for me to end my thoughts on it. Last year, the book on Nagy was he came out with a script, and it was mighty good. And if you looked at the first quarter, the stats were better than the rest of the game. Now he's had a whole off season.
Strong point.
Shouldn't you now have another set of surprises? And not playing in the preseason, maybe you could excuse it somewhat by saying we stayed vanilla, but now we're going to spring a trap. Well, where was it? Because this was a home game in division against the team that's dominated the division. If there's any statement game, it's this game. Yeah, they made a statement. We're not very good on offense, the Bears. And we'll see if that changes. It could. But my puzzle for the Bears' offense is about 60% full, and Nagy's face doesn't look real good. In 1 minute, the world premiere of Colin Cowherd's pick number 6. By the way, we're going to listen to it now, but the entire wise guy grading of Colin's picks out in podcasts, I'll have that tomorrow morning on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
So this was a tradition we started last year on Straight Out of Vegas. Every Friday after Colin gives out his Blazing 5, heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, he comes on Straight Out of Vegas and he delivers his pick number 6.
And finally, a bonus pick for people who listen on Saturday. You know, I love Sam Darnold. I think Adam Gase, Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder, and offensive line upgrades. The Jets are a little bit of a fireworks show this year. I think they have major issues at corner, but I don't think Buffalo would be able to take advantage of that. I think the Bills' defense is excellent and probably underrated on a national scale. I would take the Jets -3, but I do think Buffalo is one of those rare teams with a losing team, but a very good coaching staff. So I'd go Jets -3 against Buffalo. What would the wise guys say?
Disagreement there. Let me ask you a question, because on our Fox show, Straight Out of Vegas, you mentioned it's 6 Eastern, 5 days a week, 200 stations. I often quote you on Sam Darnold, but I don't quite know the quote. It's kind of a paraphrase, which is there was some time late in the year that in the third quarter, there was a couple third down throws you saw from Darnold that made you optimistic.
Yeah.
I kind of say it that way with a smile. Can you explain to me what makes you optimistic other than your, let's say, personal like? And I'm not, you know, we all got guys, you know, even if you meet a guy, if you don't meet a guy, you look at him, you like the cut of his jib. I get all that. What is it about Darnold that makes you optimistic based upon last year?
The last 4 weeks of the year, I think he had the NFL's highest passer rating with a bad O-line, no backs, a defensive head coach, and really no number one receiver. I think they've added the second-best slot receiver. Le'Veon Bell and Ty Montgomery are both pass catchers. I think Adam Gase had a winning record in Miami when Ryan Tannehill was healthy, beat Belichick twice. I think Gase is one of those guys. Belichick and Pete Carroll got fired. Gase is a good coach who just could not overcome quarterback injuries. I think they're going to end up being a very exciting team. I just don't think the special teams, downgrade, corners, awful. So they won't be a playoff team, but I think they'll score points.
Yeah, so The only thing I would say is, one, when Belichick got fired by the Browns, it was like, what, 5 years of going back and rethinking what he did under under Parcells again in this case. To me, it's rare to see a guy fired for cause, you know, for underperformance and then hired the same year. And then when I think of passer rating, I never hear anyone use passer rating as a sign of how good a quarterback is, and except with this Darnold talk. So I agree with you. Very talented guy. I got to see it first, and I guess we're going to. I agree with you here, last point. I think the Jets maybe overpaid for a few guys, but since they had so much cap space anyway, doesn't matter as much.
Right.
They are a better team. Jets are better. I do think a running quarterback that Allen is with the Bills is better early in the year because they're not hurt right now, right? They're going to run. So I'd say disagreement, but I'm anxious to watch the Jets.
Yeah, and by the way, I'll say this again. The Bills may have the best safety combo in the league. Buffalo defensively is very, very well coached. Last year, they had an egregiously bad O-line and no receivers. They have addressed the receivers. Cole Beasley's their slot guy they got. So I think Buffalo's going to be – I think Buffalo and the Jets are very similar teams. I think Adam Gase can be the difference at home. Okay, RJ Bell, pregame.com. We gave you our blazing five in the bonus pick. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. And we really appreciate Colin doing that for us. Every Friday we'll have that. Fez, I'm going to give you a little time here. We were so, I think, on it with the zero snaps in the preseason when they played each other. There's some other teams with zero snaps. So after the break, let's talk about that. I'm going to give one more trend here that I think is very important because I've heard some Pittsburgh money or people I kind of respect. When I say kind of, meaning I don't think they're out of it, so it means a little something, like Pittsburgh. And to me, Belichick is like 60% against the spread over 20 years. Why bet against that? Check this out, though. I'm going to read to you the straight-up winning percentage for Belichick with the Patriots starting in September, and then each number after October, November, et cetera. So 65%, 77, 71, 81, 74. So by far, September, the lowest straight-up win percentage. Against the spread, same thing September than the other months, 53, 66, 57, 60, 61. So you want to bet against Belichick. You want to play with the Tiger. Taunt the Tiger in its cage, even though the cage door might be unlocked. Go ahead. But if you're going to do it, I would do it in September. So if you do like the Steelers, I don't think it's an auto fade for me. But even when it's the worst, he's winning enough to be profitable, right, at 53%. When we come back, no hedging, no, oh, maybe, best bets, including Brad Powers, bring him back. His how could this parlay lose? I can't imagine it losing, but sometimes it will.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, you discussed on air this week, yesterday, before the opener between the Packers and the Bears, some of the quarterbacks who have had zero pass attempts in the preseason, and you've got some others that will be taking the field coming this Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those moments that you really live for, right? Because you not own, you're working so hard to find little edges. And then when you think you have a big edge, you just wrap your arms around it. You really take off the rubber band. You know that across the country, I mean, just do the math, right? Hundreds of thousands of listeners. Let's say even 10% bet it. I think more, but let's say 10. All right? So now let's say 20,000 people bet it conservatively. And if they all bet even $10, that's $200,000. So I don't give my best bets lightly, and when I give them, it's usually...
And once again, the forces of niceness and goodness have triumphed over the forces of evil and rottenness.
Let's try to continue that. All right, Fez, so we talked about those zero passing quarterbacks. There's three more left, right?
Correct.
Who's the three?
The Rams.
All right, so Goff.
Yep, the Chargers and Rivers.
Rivers.
And Philadelphia Wentz.
Wentz. Now, I am not as worried about Wentz because he's had so many injuries. He's kind of used to coming back in a way, a little rusty. But I'm going to let you decide. As a bonus, this isn't a best bet, but just a pick. If you had to fade one of these teams, who would it be?
I want to fade the Rams and Goff, and here's why, RJ. Not only they're out of sorts, a little rusty from Goff not playing preseason, 10 a.m. start time for that West Coast team playing on the East Coast. Body clock issues also.
Now, there's a lot of debate within the industry. Is that accounted for in the line? I think typically it is. I think considering there's some other disruptions, the rustiness being one of them, you know how it is. If you're a little bit hungover, it's one thing. If you're tired on top of it, it's another. Maybe there's a compounding effect with the fatigue.
It's time for a best bet from Steve Fezzik looking ahead to this weekend in the NFL.
All right, so you gave your, you know, probably a small bet against the Rams. Now this is your best bet.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville plus 3.5 versus Kansas City. I bet Jacksonville. It is all about quarterback upgrade. Now it's obvious, Foles, he's going to be a lot better than Blake Bortles and Cody Kessler. But here's what's not obvious. Not only do I expect the offense to be better, that defense got so discouraged in the second half of the year for Jacksonville, they did not play as hard because they knew in their hearts that Bortles, they were not going to be able to win.
Yeah, I think some of it was they're not going to be able to win in a way that matters, as in make the playoffs and stuff. Remember, this was a team, Jacksonville, and you're betting them here, that was a good half of football away from making the Super Bowl, going into Foxborough and winning. That's how good this team was. And now what's happened in the interim? Well, they've upgraded the quarterback, and what else? I'm not sure. Meaning some small drop-offs. Hey, this guy didn't re-sign, but really not much. So I think Jacksonville underrated for sure. They got unlucky at some points last year. Motivation was an issue once they started playing poorly, and just Bortles being incompetent was an issue. I love it. On our podcast, I bet against one of our other pros, Dave Esler, on the over-under for Jacksonville. He liked under. I like over. I'm bullish on Jacksonville. Finalize your bet.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville. I bet Jacksonville plus 3.5.
Jacksonville plus 3.5.
Guys, another game taking place in Florida is the 49ers at the Buccaneers. This is a 4:25 Eastern time kickoff on Fox. And I know Kyle Shanahan said earlier that he was surprised and pleasantly surprised and thankful that the Buccaneers decided to go with the darker jerseys at home amidst the temperatures being in the 90s there in Tampa on Sunday.
Yeah, so to me that's a fascinating element is the weather in Jacksonville. So what's this, and again, the Florida teams in general, as Jonas is bringing up, what's the projection for the weather?
97 degrees in Jacksonville may slow down Kansas City, right?
Their offense, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, I agree. Another reason maybe to like Jacksonville, that's Fez's best bet.
And guys, we did this every single week last year. It was Brad Powers, there's no way this could possibly lose parlay in the world of college football.
But sometimes it does. But here's what we know. Gave it out all last season, and if you bet them, you won. Not a lot. This is a high-level difficulty because there's a lot of favorites here. All right, Brad, so you've got first pick is Purdue minus 250 playing
Vanderbilt. They're a 7-point favorite.
All right, so you're saying Purdue just wins the game.
Yep.
All right, you've got Ohio State minus 800.
Over Cincinnati.
And what's the line?
15.
Just got to win the game.
Just got to win.
How could that not happen?
Yeah.
All right. You've got Missouri minus 550.
Yeah, over West Virginia. Missouri's a 13.5-point favorite.
But they just got to win.
Yeah, they just got to win.
How could they lose? Irony. All right, last one. Washington?
Yep.
Minus 600.
They're playing Cal. Washington's a 13.5-point favorite.
So these are the four teams. If you win the four, just the game, 100 wins you 117. That's Brad Powers. Here's the picks. Purdue. The Ohio State Buckeyes, Missouri, Washington, Purdue, Ohio State, Missouri, Washington. Four-teamer. How could it lose? Just on the money line, but sometimes it will. But it won enough last year to make us money. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Fezzik, NFL expert. I mean, these are the pros who know. This was pick Perlusa. Me? You're getting nothing more from me. Jonas is resting on his 2-2 record last year. I'm resting after that easy winner last night.
If you missed any of today's show, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.